The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, I want to officially welcome everyone on podcast and all of our video streams, whether it be YouTube, whether it be Facebook Live or Rumble. Today, I want to ask this question again. I apologize for everyone who's watching this live on the visual. You won't see a lot of the images or the PowerPoints that we put up, but you guys that are watching the rebroadcast, this doesn't affect you in any way. But I want to talk about, has America now entered the danger zone? Has America now entered the danger zone? I want to start this out today and let you know that I'm going to read a warning that myself received on July 25th. The night of July 25th, it was going into the wee hours of the night. I was having a very difficult time sleeping, and I was about to get to that point where I was about to fall asleep, and I was suddenly, and I don't know what word I can use to describe this, but I will say this, I was quickened in my heart and my spirit. And I quickly pulled out my phone, like I always do when a lot of times I'll get a message to preach or talk about, and I'll have my phone. The old days, you would take a notebook and a pen and you would write down and jot down notes and whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. But now, you know, we live in 2021. Many times we take a notebook or a laptop or a phone or whatever. And so I took out my phone and I began to express what I was feeling in my spirit and my heart. And of course, I went to my personal Facebook page and I typed all this out, posted it, and I felt impressed to also post this on our main ministry site here at End Time Headlines. So I want to read you this. Again, this was posted on July 25th. We have this documented. It's on our Facebook page. It's out there publicly. You can read this. It's very short. I'm going to read this. Then I'm going to read some other things that other individuals in the body of Christ are also expressing or what they're saying. And again, I know, and I realize we have a vast diversity of audience here from probably different backgrounds, ethnicities, denominations, and either people are going to agree or disagree with where these sources are coming from, and that's okay. We're just going to go ahead and read those anyway. And then I want to share with you some information that we have recently shared that I believe coincides with everything that a lot of us are feeling and what we're seeing come down the pike that is going to be not only affecting America, but I would say globally. But again, like I've always said, I'm not called to be a watchman per se in other nations, but especially here in America, because it's going to hit my shores first. And many times it's a ripple effect that goes and affects other nations. So let me read this. This is July 25th. This is what I wrote down, what I was feeling. The next 6 months could very well bring the most trying times that many have ever faced in their generation. Events are now accelerating like never before, and it appears that any efforts to restrain or delay them is futile at this point. It's time to get your house in order. And I'm going to emphasize that again. It's time to get your house in order. Stay prayed up and remember that when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Now, I stick to this. And I do not feel any different. If anything, I feel the urgency is even greater today as of, again, September 24th, which is shortly a little bit beyond 2 months from when I first wrote this. And I believe that it's even more intensified. Again, most trying times that I believe that many have ever faced in their generation. What do I mean by that? We talked about this off camera, off podcast, even in small circles of discussion. I talked about how I was with a group of people and there was at least three generations represented in these groups. And I said, you know, your generation saw things that this previous generation didn't see, and that generation saw things that, you know, that that our generation didn't see, and then and vice versa. But here's the thing: most of the older generations saw things that the newer or the my generation and my son's generation, we didn't see these things. We're talking about World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Great Depression, you know, things like that. We saw, I was here and we went through what was called the Great Recession. Okay, but it's nowhere on a scale of the Great Depression or World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Civil War, all these things that were very trying for our nation and for America. And I believe that we're about to step in some stuff that we could very well be markers that are going to mark our generation, that, you know, if the Lord tarries, and I say if the Lord tarries, that we could be speaking to our, you know, our children, or they could be speaking to their children, and they will begin to recall the events that we had to face and what we went through. All right, so I want to move on from this. On the on the 19th of September, so this was only less than a week ago, international speaker, evangelist, and minister Perry Stone, on his personal ministry page, said, quote, "Something big is soon to happen." And I want to give you, this is what he wrote: "For about a month or longer, I have sensed a burden that something huge is headed to the United States. We are on the verge of a strange crisis." Now, I know for a fact that when he wrote this, and if we, again, he said a month, if we go back from September 19th, we go to August 19th, again, on July 25th is when I felt that burden. And from his time frame, it looks to be that he has been feeling this right about the same time frame that I begin to feel this. Now, again, I'm not putting anyone up on a pedestal or comparing anyone. I'm just telling you, I'm feeling the pulse of different individuals in the body of Christ. Now, this is what he said: "About a month ago or longer, I've sensed a burden that something huge is headed to the United States. We," quote, "are on the verge of a strange crisis." He called it a strange crisis. "Last night, I dreamed of being in Washington, D.C., in a room telling those in charge to get ready, that this is going to impact millions of people. Right now, I can think of at least four things that could have that type of impact. I've changed my schedule in November because of this unusual burden." Now, again, I want to say this again. He said, quote, "I have changed or rearranged my schedule in November." This is 2 months out from now, because of the burden that he was feeling, that he had been feeling for some time, that he vocally made it public on the 19th of September. He went on to say, quote, "I have spoken with several prominent ministers who have told me they have been under the same burden for weeks." Now, guys, I had no idea about this. No idea when I wrote that. So to me, that lets me know that I believe I'm on the right track, or I'm in the same thread as the Holy Spirit, because other individuals are seeing and feeling the same thing. He went on to say, quote, "I know massive shortages are coming and are nowhere. I know massive shortages that are coming out of nowhere. Several restaurants say they cannot get supplies in our own town," and he lives in Cleveland, Tennessee, by the way, "and are cutting back on the menus. Chip shortages are impacting car and truck assembly lines." And by the way, that's only getting worse. "The drought out west has caused farmers to destroy their trees and plow their fields." He went on to say, "We're in such debt that no one is buying the U.S. debt any longer. We are purchasing it ourselves, and the dollar is weakening. Our enemies are getting stronger and we are getting weaker. Reports from the Middle East say Iran will have a nuke within a month or two, and we are now being forced to obey rules," which, again, he went on to say that while Congress is exempt, and he said, and the list goes on. Now, I want to shift gears here. And again, I want to preface this and say this again. I typically don't name drop. And you know, the real reason why I don't do this is because there's so many vast opinions. Again, because there's so many different people from so many different denominational backgrounds, or you got people that are charismatic, people that are Pentecostal, people that are Baptist, people that are independent Baptist. You got people that are Methodist, people that are Presbyterian, people that are Catholic, people that are Protestant. You've got so vast of an audience that watch and listen that you're going to have vast differences of opinion. So when I start name dropping, you'll get people that love them and people that hate them. Okay. So if you want to know who these individuals are, many times go and read our main website, where when we post some of these warnings, that's where we post their name, because I hate when we get into these threads, or especially when we're on live and people start bickering and arguing amongst each other about the individual in which the source came from, the dream, the vision, the warning, the visitation, or what, so on and so forth. But anyway, so we shared an article today where, according to Charisma Magazine, Heidi Baker recently at one of her conferences spoke about and she goes on to say, and quote, I quote, a prophetic word or an urgent word from the Lord that the Lord gave her to share with the body of Christ. And I want to read that today. Now, again, whether you like her, agree with her, don't like her, love her, support her, don't support her, whatever, I don't really care. I'm only sharing with you. You do whatever you want with it. She said, quote, I was groaning in prayer and travail, and I realized I was groaning for America. She went on to say that, quote, I started seeing it, and it was showing me his glory, but he was also showing me suffering like we've never seen. I spoke to the Lord in this and said, Lord, they don't want to hear this. They don't want to see it. And he said to me, are you going to tell them? Are you going to tell them who you are? You said you would go anywhere and say anything. She went on to say, quote, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I will go if you ask me. I lay my life before you. She said, quote, I was seen shaking, but I saw his glory. All I can say is that you had better fix your eyes on Jesus. This is not a time to play games. There is, and I quote, there is darkness covering the earth, huge darkness, but the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Hold on and stay in your lane. Remove the judgment you have on the body of Christ. If you have judgment, you're going to be missing a piece you need to move in these days. So again, the one thing I want to home in on here today, again, on what Heidi Baker said, whether you like her, whether you love her, whether you don't, whether you do. The one thing she said is that if what she said is true, that the Lord revealed to her that there is coming trouble to America, and there is coming things that we have never experienced, then I believe that we need to be paying attention. And again, it goes back to what I've said for years. I had rather be prepared for nothing than be unprepared for something any day of the week. Now, Michael Snyder, who he is the author of the economiccollapse.com. He is also the author of importantnews.com. He's an author. He's a speaker. He was a former lawyer. Many articles and many opinion pieces we share on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. He recently did a piece in which he quoted a man by the name of Matt Stoller. And I'm going to read you this. Now, we're moving from warnings, words, and urgent warnings from different ministers in the body of Christ. Now we're moving to the practical. Okay, because the argument will be, well, Brother Ricky, anybody with a brain, anybody with discernment, and anybody that watches the news can see that we're in troubled waters. They can see that there's a storm rising. They can see all these things. Yes, that's true. But guys, can I tell you something? Every single year, there's a shaking and we pull out of it. We shake it off. There's corrections in the stock market. There's different cycles of this, and we go, there's ups and downs, and we get through these things and we move forward. But something different is brewing. And I'm going to read this again. This is from Michael Snyder, from an article that he posted on one of his two websites or both, but he quoted from Matt Stoller, and he said, quote, "There are shortages in everything from ocean shipping containers to chlorine tablets to railroad capacity to black tape, which is the piping that houses wires inside buildings. We're seeing shortages from spicy chicken breast to specialized plastic bags necessary for making vaccines. Moreover, prices for all sorts of items, from housing to food, are changing in weird ways." He went on to say, quote, "Beef, for instance, is at near record highs for consumers, but cattle ranchers are getting paid much less than they used to for their cows." He went on to say, "In my entire life, I've never seen anything like this. Even the Federal Reserve is admitting that we have a major problem at this point. In fact, in the latest beige book of the Fed, referred to the shortages a whopping 80 times. In certain parts of the country, these shortages are really beginning to sting." According to Matt Stoller, he went on to say that, quote, "A reader just emailed me about what is going on in his section of the state of Connecticut. He said that I could share this with all of you. I am just a regular guy in Connecticut who has been watching things very closely, especially from a biblical perspective." He went on to say, quote, "I wanted to quickly share with you an experience that my wife and I had about 2 weeks ago at a medium-sized family-run grocery store near Waterbury, Connecticut." He said, "Seemingly overnight, we noticed that there were little yellow signs on the shelves where certain SKUs used to be." Now, when I read this, I want you to, typically we don't do this, but since we're doing this live on Facebook, if you can relate to this man from Connecticut and you're seeing this in your area, I want you to chime in and I want you to comment on the comment section there on Facebook Live and let us know if this is going on in your state or your region. Let me read this. He said, "We began to see these little yellow signs on the shelves where certain SKUs used to be, not entire lines, but individual SKUs. For example, a particular flavor of oatmeal and certain cereals. The sign said something to the effect of this, quote, 'This item is no longer available due to supply chain constraints.' Quote, 'I would say there were a few hundred signs in total throughout the entire store. It wasn't until we got to the juice and water aisle that we noticed the larger problem.' Quote, 'There was no Gatorade.' Now stop. We were just at lunch today with a group of individuals, and one of the individuals that we were with just happened to say that they were at the grocery store at a local chain here in Loganville, Georgia, and there was no Gatorade in the entire store. So I know for a fact that this is happening here in my neck of the woods in Georgia." He said, quote, "When they got to the juice aisle, there was no Gatorade and no bottled water by the gallons of the jugs. I have befriended the manager over the years, and so I asked him, 'Where is the water?' He went on to say, and he told me, quote, 'They only will give us so many bottles.' And I asked, 'Who are they?' And he said, 'The manufacturer. They were being rationed.'" I want to say that again. The manufacturer told him that the water was being rationed. And he said this, quote, a truck driver happened to walk by and joined in on the conversation. He told us that he just got back from Maine after a three-day trip, a trip that normally takes him only a few hours. And he said, and all of the other truck drivers, he said, all the other truck drivers are sitting at the warehouse for days waiting for their trucks to be filled. To be clear, I asked him how long it normally takes, and he said a few hours at the most. On our way out, I remembered that we needed dog food. So we went to the pet aisle, and there was no cat litter and no dog food, except for a few little bags of the cheapest stuff we could find. All of these things, and he gives a quote here to Steve Quayle. Many of you guys who keep up with prophecy or eschatology or end times, last days, you, Steve Quayle is kind of like, how can I put this? He's kind of like the general of prepping for the end times. His whole site is about, he's the author of books. He's got a blog site, and he was one of the first ones that ever talked about prepping or preparing for the end times, practically speaking, spiritually speaking. So anyway, this guy who wrote in to Matt said that all of the things that Steve Quayle has been, quote, saying about food and water shortages have suddenly become a reality. I always believed him, but now I was seeing it for myself at the very local level. Again, I want everyone watching by Facebook Live, and listen, if you're watching by YouTube, Rumble, and there's a place where you can comment, let us know if you guys are seeing this in your area. Because why do I want you to do that? Because listen, I'm telling you the truth. We have people emailing us, messaging us, and they call us fear mongers. Oh, you're fabricating that. You're just promoting fear mongering, and this is not happening anywhere. So listen, for all the doubters, the naysayers, read the comments, Facebook Live, Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, wherever your platform is that you're watching, listening to this, watch and listen to the comment section and see for yourself. Are similar things happening in your part of the country? This is the question he asked. If so, please feel free to email me and let me know. This was from Michael Snyder. He goes on, quote, we need to share intel with one another because the mainstream media is not telling us the whole truth. How true is that? Because this is nothing new. It's like a big circus show. Don't pay attention to the wizard behind the curtain. Set your eyes on over here. The smoke and the mirrors and the bells and the whistles. Because if we can distract you over here on the left hand, then you won't pay attention to what the right hand is doing behind the scenes. Quote, of course, the shortages would not be as severe as if we could actually unload all of the container ships that are backlogged at our ports. Now, look, I researched this, and this is absolutely true, and I want to read this. Right now, dozens of container ships are sitting along the West Coast waiting to be unloaded. Why? This is a quote here. The number of container ships at anchor or drifting in San Pedro Bay, all ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, has blown through all previous records. The latest peak, there were an all-time high 73 container ships in the queue in San Pedro Bay on Sunday, according to the Marine Exchange of Southern California. The tally inched back to 69 on Tuesday of the ships offshore on Sunday. 36 of them were forced to drift because anchorages were full. Theoretically, the numbers already surreal. We'll just say that. Could even go higher than this. While designated anchorages are limited, the space for ships to safely drift offshore is not. This is the same problem that we're seeing, again, not just in one location, but all over the place. At one time, we had more able-bodied workers than we knew what to do with. But now there is such an extreme shortage of workers all over the globe that it has gotten to the point where we don't even have enough people to drive kids to school. And this is true. And we reported this. Listen to this. In Philadelphia, let me read this little excerpt. The shortages are so bad in some places that districts are taking extraordinary measures to keep kids to school or to get kids to school as students return to in-person classes this fall. Philadelphia's school district will now pay families $300 a month or $3,000 a year to opt out of transportation services, howbeit riding the bus, and get their kids to school on their own accord. According to one public school in Virginia, it is offering a $2,500 bonus to new drivers who will drive school buses, $100 more than the school district in the county seat of Charlottesville that is offering. Again, think about that, guys. We have a shortage of school bus drivers. So here's the question. Where did all the people go? And again, if we don't have enough workers oiling, fueling, and getting this machine going, guess what? The machine stops. The wheels stop turning. The mechanics stop turning. And when that happens, everything will come to a stop. When you consider everything else that has been going on, it should not be surprising that we are now seeing things picking up pace, increasing, accelerating at all-time high. Now we could read on here, but I want to, and this time of year, guys, we're ending in, we've passed, you know, the season of Teshuvah, the season of repentance, the open season of turning from our sins and God giving us mercy. Now we're entering into the fall season. We're entering on the Jewish calendar, on God's calendar. We're entering into a crucial season, and every single year, there's usually a big shakeup anyway on this time of year. It's cyclical. But again, I want to emphasize to you something. Something is in the atmosphere this time. Something is circulating. Something is shifting. Something is moving. Something is different this time on a large scale. And it's affecting Asia. It's affecting Europe. It's affecting the United States. It's affecting all these nations. Everything is correlating together. Again, the machine is slowing down. The gears are slowing down because all the components needed to keep the machine running are either missing, they're delayed, they're absent. And when you put all this together, you produced the perfect storm of events. So here's the bottom line, guys. I'm just going to tell you, when I read this, instead of becoming anxious and full of anxiety, like which would be easy to do, we have to go back to the Bible. And remember, I told you this the other day, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Says the thing that was, which was, is the thing that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. Is there anything that's new that cannot be said that it was of old? Having said that, if you go to the book of Genesis, we know when Joseph was in Egypt, he dwelt in the land of Egypt. He was under Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a sequence of dreams. And in the dreams, he saw seven cows Seven were full, seven were skinny. He saw seven stalks of wheat, seven were full, seven were not. Joseph tells him the two dreams are one and the same. They are established by God and they shall shortly come to pass. By divine instructions of the Holy Spirit of God, Joseph tells Pharaoh to prepare the land while it is yet plentiful, prepare for the years of famine that are coming. And I believe, because I have been keeping up with these events, I have seen these things come and go year after year after year. I believe, listen to me, I believe, speaking for America, I'm not speaking for Australia, not speaking for Europe, I'm not speaking for Asia, I'm not speaking for other nations, I'm speaking for America. America has had its time and its years and its seasons of plenty, and we've had time. Listen, guys, I can tell you for a fact that for the past 10 years or longer, you have had prophets, you have had apostles, you have had teachers, you've had pastors, you've had all the fivefold ministry, you've had watchmen, you have had all these, even as far as you have had economists, investors, and so on, warn and warn and warn people of America to prepare for hard times, prepare for hardships, prepare for famine. So there is no excuse if we have been in tune with the Holy Spirit. We understand the times and seasons, like the sons of Issachar, and the times in which we are in. We have had an apt amount of time to prepare. And I believe, guys, that we could very well, this is why I entitled this, is America now entering the danger zone? Are we now entering into the seasons of famine in America? Now, the question is, if we are, how are we going to respond? How are we going to act? What are we going to do? How are we going to prepare? Again, I've said this over and over again, there is practical preparing and there is spiritual preparing, and I believe we need to do both. On a practical level, you need to do what you need to do to be prepared for hard times. Common sense, guys. Have a plan. Have it charted. Have it labeled. Have it written out. All your family needs to be on board with that. Guys, again, if you live in disaster zones, if you live in an earthquake zone, you know what I'm talking about. You live in a hurricane zone, you know what I'm talking about. You live in a tornado zone, you know what I'm talking about. If you live where there is constant wildfires, you know what I'm talking about. When you live in danger zones, you're not going to be caught off guard, because you're going to be prepared in the event that disaster strikes. You won't be caught with your pants down, but you'll be caught prepared. The Bible says, if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have broken into, he would have been watching and would have been prepared. So it's time to prepare on a practical level. How do we prepare? What do we do? What do we get? Guys, again, common sense, water, supplies, food, utilities, things that you need for utility, flashlights with batteries, backups, generators, etc. You need to be prepared. Spiritually speaking, when God spoke to Noah and told him that judgment was coming, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying today. When Noah understood, discerned, and heard from the Lord that judgment was on its way, the Bible says that he listened, obeyed, and prepared his household accordingly. So how do we prepare a household for what's coming in the days ahead? Again, practically speaking, we just went over that. Spiritually speaking, in the book of Acts, chapter 16, 31, the apostles that were in the prison, when God broke them out, he looked at the jailer that was about to take his own life. And he told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your whole household shall be saved. When Peter showed up at the house of Cornelius, it wasn't just about Cornelius. It was about him and his whole household. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You may be watching this and you say, it's all good for me, brother. I'm saved. I'm ready. Yeah, but what about your family? What about your spouse? What about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your grandparents? What about your uncle, your aunts? What about your neighbors? What about your coworkers? If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to have a burden for them. You're going to have a burden for the lost. You're not going to be selfish with your head stuck in the clouds and shunning those around you. You're going to prepare an ark for them as well, because I can show you in the Bible where Noah just didn't prepare the ark for only himself and only for his family, but he prepared the ark that for so whosoever will. In the beginning, he said, come. Judgment is coming. Disaster is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Repent. Come. Get into the ark while the door is still open, because the hour's coming when I will no longer have accessibility or control over who comes and who enters and who leaves and who can open the door and who can shut the door. Because, you know, the Bible talks about this in the days of Noah. It went from transition to where Noah had accessibility to open and close the door at his free will and allow who and who can and come in and come out. But there came a time when it shifted, and it went from to Noah's strength and his own power to where it was supernatural into the hands of God. And the Bible says that God shut him up in the ark. God became control of the door, and God shut the door. And when the people, when hundreds of thousands of people came screaming and slamming their fists at the side of the ark and said, let us in, for the disaster has come, the Bible says that Noah did not have the ability to open the door because it was no longer in his hands and it was in God's hands. My goodness, my friend. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, they had a space to prepare. God gave them time to get oil in their lamps. He had gave them time to trim their wicks and get the fire burning, but they procrastinated. They put it off. They had excuse after excuse after excuse, and they just kept sleeping through it. They slept through the warning. They slept through this warning. They slept through the signs. They slept through all that stuff. And eventually, come on, the bridegroom showed up at an hour they did not expect. And then they begin to scramble. Then they begin to prepare. Then they try to run. Can I get some oil? Can I get some fire? Can I get this the wick trim? I've got to get ready because the bridegroom is here. And then they showed up at the door of the chambers of the bridegroom, knocking at the door saying, let us in. We're ready to go in. And the Bible says that he looked at them and he says, depart from me. I don't know you. Friends, listen to me. If you're watching this today, listening to this today, I don't care what platform you're on today. I don't care what you've done, how bad it is, and where you're at right now. We serve a God who is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I said all unrighteousness. Yeah, brother, but you don't know my past. I said all unrighteousness. Yeah, brother, but you don't know the things I've done. I said he is able to cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, my friend. He is able to cast your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He wants to inscribe your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But this is what you got to do today, right where you're at, whether you're listening, whether you're watching, or both. Right where you're at, I want you to repent. What does that mean? It means today you choose to turn from your ways. There's a way that seems right unto man, Proverbs said, but in the end, it's the way of death. It's time to lay down your agenda. It's time to lay down your plan, your purposes, and your preconceived ideas and your notions of what it looks like for your life. And it's time to put your life in His hands. The Bible says, if any man tries and desires to save his life, he will lose it. But if any man loses his life, or he gives up his life for the gospel's sake, he will gain it. What profit is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit and lose his very soul? So right now, I want to give you an opportunity while the Holy Spirit's here, while the Lord is present here, while His presence is able to be felt. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. We're not going to procrastinate. We're not going to wait for a drop of rain to fall. We're not going to wait for the cloud to split. And we're not going to wait for a trumpet to sound. We're going to do it today. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to confess your sins before the Lord. Close your eyes right where you're at. If you can do this, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to humble yourself before Him. Repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and live in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Set residence in your heart. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears, let him open the door. Come on, the doorknob is on your side of the door, my friend, not His. He's not going to force His way into your heart. You have the doorknob on the inside. You have the ability to open the door and let the Lord come in so He can sup with you. We want to give you that opportunity right now. Let Him come into your heart. Let Him wash you. Let Him cleanse you of all your sins. Ask the Holy Spirit to come take residence in. And then lead you and guide you in these last days. Father, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I believe there's people watching today that are receiving this today. I believe they're acting in obedience today, whether it's live or by the rebroadcast of this today. And Lord, I'm asking that you would give them the ability to prepare not only their own lives, but Lord, that they would be like a Noah, that they would prepare the ark. That they would prepare an ark at their job, an ark in their family, an ark in their neighborhood. We're not talking about building an actual boat, but a place of refuge. That they begin to be the spokesperson. They become an ambassador for you. They begin to tell people wherever they're at, there is coming bad things upon the earth. There is coming catastrophe. There's coming judgments. There's coming disasters. There's coming things that we have probably not seen in generations past. But there is still, come on, somebody, there is still a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. There is still an anchor that holds. There is still, the Bible says, I will look unto the hills in which my help comes from. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for He has overcome the world. And He says, lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. Friend, if you did this today and you've repented of your sins and asked the Holy Spirit to come in you, I've got news for you. Jesus Christ is going to be with you until the end of the age. What does that mean? Until this thing wraps up, He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you through the mountains. He's going to walk with you through the valleys. He's going to walk you through the water, walk you through the fire. He's going to be with you in the good. He's going to be with you in the bad. He's going to be with you when it's great and when it's ugly. When everything's on top and everything's on bottom, He is with you. And if He be for us, who is he who can be against us? So this is not, listen, guys, to some, they will perceive this as a message of doom and gloom. But here is the redemptive hope. The redemptive hope is this world is passing away. But come on, not one jot nor tittle of the word of God shall pass away until all things have come to pass. And we've got prophecy. We've got prophetic words from the prophets and from Jesus and from the apostles that have yet to come to pass. And we are living in these days and we are seeing these things unfold. And just like Luke 18, 19 says, or 21, 23, Luke 21, 23, I want to get that correct. He says, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Did you notice that? Luke 21, he talks about wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilence, deception, all these things. And then he gets down there to Luke 21, 28. And he says, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, notice what he said. He didn't say, go hide, be sorrowful, be depressed. He said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, don't forget to share this. We want you to share this, this link, this podcast, this broadcast, whatever the case may be. Want to give you an opportunity. Excuse me. If you've not yet downloaded our free app, this is how you keep up with our ministry. Don't rely on social media networks. Download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. If you're listening and not watching, just go to either one of those Play Stores, type in End Time Headlines, get it free, get it into your hands, push yes to push notifications. You're going to be notified of our podcast. You're going to be notified of all of our headlines, everything that we get on a daily basis. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if you've not prayed about becoming a monthly partner in the support of our ministry, if this ministry is a continual source of information, revelation, equipping, encouragement, week after week after week, we want to give you that opportunity, and you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically by going to the app or going to the main website right there where you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can give to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And as always, guys, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, thank you for taking the time out today to hop on here live or watching the rebroadcast of this. Again, don't forget to subscribe. If you're watching by Rumble, subscribe and share this. Watching by YouTube, subscribe and share this as well. Facebook, we're on Facebook. If you're not on there, find us on End Time Headlines. We're on all these major platforms. We're on Telegram, MeWe. We're on GETTR or Getter, the Donald Trump's social media he created. We're on Gab. We're on Twitter. We're all over the place. We're on Instagram. We're on every major media or social media outlet at the time being, anyway. That could change, but we're on all those and alternative networks as well. Parler, we're on there as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance be upon you. God bless. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.